Okay, we're going live. Okay, it is 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, September 9th, 2025. We'll call the common council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Middleton.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Romano.
Here.
Weigel.
Here.
Bachelman.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on August 26th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by, was that Tad?
Yes.
Seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. I think you have to abstain.
Oh.
Yeah. Brent, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, Brent and Jenny and Tad and Dan approve, and Jennifer abstains. Next up is Ordinance 2025-11. This is on second reading. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-11 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2025-11 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-11, a joint ordinance amending the schedule fees and charges for the Columbia City Whitley County Joint Planning and Building Department.
As you'll remember, this is the new fee schedule that Nathan presented at the last meeting. Minor changes, the county has already approved this. So any questions, comments, concerns since last time? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-11 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? I think you said that,
it
right? My ear clearly is not working well tonight, so I'm sorry. All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Thanks for the offer, Brandon. Appreciate that. Okay, next up is Ordinance 2025-12. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2025-12 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-12, an ordinance amending Chapter 95, specifically in reference to noise control of Title 9?
Yes.
Of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Again, this is the Jake Brink ordinance that was brought up. And again, the focus is on those compression brakes that have been modified, right?
Correct.
That's what makes the noise, the Jake Brake noise, if you will. So.
Especially over on Chicago.
Yes, on Chicago Street, yes. Yes. Along US 30, near Eagle Glen.
Nine.
So, questions regarding Ordinance 2025-12. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-12 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Before we move on to the other parts of our agenda, I want to recognize John Goetz, who you have in your Dropbox Chapter 56 updates and Chapter 156, I think, updates, right? Mm-hmm. So, John, if you want to come up and talk a little bit about that, we don't have an ordinance. It's not an ordinance form yet, so this will be on the next two agendas. But since John is here tonight, I thought it'd be important for him to describe some of the changes that are happening. This is all related to the stormwater, some stormwater mandates that are kind of coming down the pipe at us. And so with that, John, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Yes, the new MS4 general permit requires the city's ordinances for stormwater, construction stormwater, to contain the requirements of the construction stormwater general permit. So there are some things in the current ordinance, which is in Chapter 56, that need to be revised in order to conform with construction's stormwater general permit requirements. And so that's one reason for the revisions. There are some things in the current ordinances that are outdated, references, some of the technical things that are in there are outdated, so there's some revisions needed for that. The state legislature has passed some bills that limit what local units can do as when it comes to construction, stormwater, and erosion and sediment control. So we had to kind of revise the ordinance to kind of incorporate those limitations in the ordinance. So that's kind of where it's all coming from. We were supposed to have our ordinances updated in July of 2024, but we haven't met that. We had an audit by the MS4 coordinator for IDEM at the end of July, and she noted that we were deficient on that. So we need to be able to send back a schedule to her and say, this is what we're doing about it. This is our schedule for getting the updated ordinances in place. So that's kind of all coming together on these two chapters.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it, just to kind of compound on top of what John had said, I think we are moving some of the stuff in the ordinance to the, what's it, the manual?
So we have a stormwater development manual that has technical standards. So the approach I was taking was to limit the, as far as the requirements of the construction stormwater general permit, my idea was to limit how much of that I put in the ordinance, because they're going to change the permit every 5 years, which would mean you'd have to change the ordinance every 5 years. But I think a lot of that, since the manual is included by reference in the ordinance, that we can put a lot of that in the stormwater development manual, and that, you know, we can do a lot less formal updates on that as things change. So that's my approach.
So it's not going to cost us anything except for the construction side. They might have to come up with different ways of handling the runoff from their construction site.
No, I don't see any big changes in that. I really don't see any big changes as far as what they're actually doing on the sites.
Because ultimately, when someone goes to build or develop on a site, they already have to pull a stormwater permit. We've set that fee schedule in here.
Yeah.
This is more of just how we navigate the state and federal mandates that have came down in regards to our ordinance and our technical manual. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's pretty fair. There were some additional requirements in the construction stormwater general permit, but they really aren't changing the way we run our program that much.
Usually when things happen, it adds cost to somebody.
Yeah, I get that. Well, and honestly, if that post-construction monitoring and process monitoring, let's say when there's construction happening, if we do see that cost come up, there's certainly, we can come back to our ordinance and look at the permitting fees that are part of that. Because again, we want to offset the cost that we're incurring on those developments through that fee schedule. So
that's kind of where
I think that's very fair, Dan. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're basically, the things that are going to be changing most often, you're putting reference to in the ordinance, so that the ordinance will stay valid. The changes are going to be made in the manner that we're referring.
Yeah, that's my goal anyway. Is to put those requirements in the manual, so we can change those informally. We don't have to go through the whole formal process of changing the ordinance every 5 years. So.
Yeah. And I think one thing, John, you had said in notes to me were that every time an administration changes at the federal level, it impacts our language and it impacts things in our ordinance. And
yeah,
so
there were some definitions in the ordinance. One of them was waters of the United States. Well, every time the administration changes, there's a different definition of waters of the United States. And there was some language in there about jurisdictional wetlands. And again, the legislature, the administration, they change definitions and requirements for those things all the time, so I'm kind of moving those out of the ordinance and going to put those someplace else if we need them.
Yep.
So.
Questions of John. So, again, this ordinance is in front of you tonight, but it will be at the next two meetings for obviously two readings. And as you kind of review, and there is some minor changes that we're going to be doing in between now and then, but generally the bulk of what will be the ordinance is in there right now. So if you do have questions, you can send them to me. I'll shoot them on to John, or you can go directly to John. So, okay. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is the Arts Commission appointment for the council. Jennifer, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, so we have an opening on the Arts Commission, and it's council's opportunity to fill that spot. And I wanted to bring forth a recommendation of Taylor Ford. Taylor is a dance instructor and works with children, which would be a great match to fill the spot. Huge shoes left by Becky Walter on the commission, so...
Yes, and that's a recommendation from the Arts Commission, too,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, council, are, does someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to have Taylor Ford for the Arts Commission.
Second.
Okay, motion second.
What was your name, Taylor?
Taylor Ford.
Taylor Ford.
Ford.
F-O-R-D. All those in favor, should be the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Next up is the tree board appointment. So this is a little bit of a rigmarole, but stick with me. I promise that we'll get there. So I originally, prior to Brent joining the council, appointed Brent to the tree board as a mayoral appointment. Since then, he has now joined council, and so it creates a little bit of a blur between the executive and legislative. However, we have an individual who has stepped off of the tree board, and it is a council appointment. So, and Brent, your term, I think, ends in October anyways. So, my recommendation, if you guys are accepting of it, is to move Brent to that unexpired term of the individual who's leaving, and then I will reappoint somebody for the new term that Brent is effectively vacating. I know that there was a little bit, I know that's a little fuzzy, but it makes a lot of sense to move Brent over to the legislative appointment. And since there's an unexpired term, that makes the most sense to me. And Brent was willing to do that, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So
as long as it makes sense to you too.
So, any questions about that? I know it's a little gobbledygook, but okay. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve Brent to fill the unexpired term? It's, by the way, Larry Walter. So, unexpired term of Larry Walter.
So moved.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign.
I'll go ahead and abstain.
Brent abstains. That's probably a good idea. Thank you very much. Thank you, council. Appreciate that. Department head reports. Terry?
So we've been into some issues out at Eagle Park concession stand with power. They're out there now with football, and so some of the equipment they have out there happens to be on the same circuit that the server equipment is on. So we were popping breakers quite often, so they're working through trying to figure out how to get that resolved. Met with Andrea and Melinda today at the park to go over equipment needs and the process for them to move from Rec Pro, which is on a server that we manage, to Rec Desk, which is a cloud-based server. So we've got equipment to purchase for that to replace the equipment that we have. So we're trying to get that in line so we can work through it and get it up and running through the winter so they don't have any issues next spring. That's all I have.
Questions of Terry? Thank you. Sean?
Just continue to work on cleaning up the poles that failed inspection. We're still working on the same alley in between Van Buren and Jackson, heading east-west behind the old daycare, Lindville daycare, heading west to downtown. They're about halfway downtown by now, and they're doing a great job. It's been a great project for my younger guys to get some bucket time as well. So, other than that, we're working on getting quotes for a new tree truck. It's a 77-foot working height truck, so hopefully we have that in the next month. Get that ordered. That's about a 3-year lead time. So the sooner we can get it ordered, the better, because I might be retired before we get it. So, other than that, just day-to-day activities.
Questions of Sean? Thank you. Chip?
Trail is coming along. I'm not going to go into it, but it's usable now. We're trying to figure out a ribbon cutting for that. Westgate, we are moving on phase 3 doing some of the preliminary engineering and wastewater, stormwater on that. I do want to thank, I know Jennifer's going to probably say a statement about it, but thank Pulverax Vault for donating a steamroller for last Friday's First Friday, and other than that, day-to-day stuff.
When is it moving out of the park?
Yeah. I mean, it looks great.
I mean, it's kind of, it's kind
we're
of
showing it off. We're giving them sponsors.
Yeah.
We're showing it off.
So,
okay. Get their name out there.
Hey, you looked really good driving it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable. I was very nervous.
Yeah. He kept offering anybody to walk up. Yeah. Like, hey, you want to drive it? Do you want to drive it?
No, like, it's ready for the
That's true.
Also, wasn't going anywhere fast.
Yeah, that's true. That's also true. No, I thought it was really awesome. It was a cool art installation, that's for sure. So, question, Chip. Thank you, Michael.
The 2nd of September, they Peerless was out started cleaning the well. They should have been done Monday. I think they are. They're going to come back and videotape the well. Make sure you see how clean it is. If it's not good enough, then they'll do some more work on it. Other than that, they're rebuilding the well head and everything, motor, pump, everything. So we should be ready to go like new when they're done. Also, today we was doing the cutouts from all the leaks and Pat storm drains that we've had to repair. So they should be done today. Also, we had 4 lead lines that we had to replace in town. We replaced 2 of them late last week, and we're going to replace the other 2 Thursday.
All right. Question the mic. Thank you. Gary.
All right. We had 7 applicants go to the informal interview process yesterday, trying to narrow that down. We currently now have 5 open positions, and I'll tell you about that down here at the bottom. Plugging away, trying to narrow it down. Hopefully we can get 5 out of this. If not, we'll take 4. If not, we'll take 3. However many we can get, just trying to get the right people in the right spots. Both First Friday and Movie on the Square were successful. We're now preparing for Prison Fest and Public Safety Festival in the next couple weeks. The goal for tornado sirens to be installed is tomorrow. We've been down for quite some time, even through the storm, so we was a little nervous about that and crossing our fingers, but hey, we made it through, and hopefully they get put up tomorrow. Rachel Eppenball is doing well in dispatch. She continues to demonstrate reliability and professionalism, doing a great job there. Code enforcement coordinator Scott Leatherman continues to do an excellent job engaging with residents. Regarding ordinance violations, his efforts obviously led to some noticeable improvements in some neighborhoods, so he's doing good there. Deputy Chief Anderson spent the day at Walmart today delivering safety presentations to all his employees on all shifts. He actually got another one tonight at 10 o'clock, the 3rd shift. So obviously we're reinforcing the department's commitment to public education and outreach. Sergeant Woldridge has submitted his letter of resignation. His last day will be September 12th as he transfers to his new role at the Indiana State Police, so he's going to go work for the State Police. I want to thank him for his service and his wish him well and success in his new position there. So, really, that's all I have right now.
Question of Gary. Thank you. That's a lot. That's okay. Rosie. A couple other reports here. Tom said that our new firefighter started yesterday, and so they're training him. He is on day shift for 2 straight weeks, so he gets the different shifts, the A, B, and C shifts, if you will, or teams, if you will, as they rotate through, so he kind of gets to learn some different ways, and certainly learns kind of the way of the department. They're doing some minor repairs around the training area, some siding repairs, things like that, painting. They started a pre-plan program where the engine crews go to area businesses, draw diagrams inside and out to locate utilities, make sure they know if there is, God forbid, but if there is a fire, they kind of know where exactly to go and where things are, rather than waiting until disaster strikes. So Zach and Toby are working on some different software situations. Truck 107 is still down in Indianapolis getting repairs made. And I think that's generally it for Tom. For Kelly, they had a crew working on putting up the new parking signs from the ordinance that was passed last time for the diagonal spots on Line Street there by the city lot. They replaced 10 feet of sidewalk at corner of Redstone and Pebble Creek, replaced 5 foot of sidewalk on East Jackson that was damaged from tree removal last winter. They received the new F-550, which will be the concrete truck. Crews are also working with the water department on patching areas, and they're doing, obviously, the work orders and running the sweeper and things like that. Mike Cook's report is they're still working on the ammonia issue. That has been probably one of the more frustrating things that I think Mike has ever dealt with, because we can't pinpoint it, and it's very, very frustrating. They're pretty sure they know the time frame, but they can't pinpoint where at yet, so they're still working on that. They met with IDEM today for a facility inspection, and they are cleaning out the digester right now, and that project seems to be going fairly well. Maybe the last thing I'll mention, at least right now, is that I want to talk a little bit about the jail real quickly, the former jail. So as I mentioned in the past, our plan was to do some entrepreneurship space, police department kind of space, and then indoor playground, maybe some workout space, things like that. That project came back at about $7 million. And the reason for, part of the reason of that is the HVAC system was like $1 million itself. So segmenting on some, doing this part, then doing this part, that just wouldn't have worked. So we took a step back and looked at it and talked to the county commissioners and said, okay, are you guys wanting it back or not? They said, no, we don't want it back. So I talked to the Redevelopment Commission today and the RDC, and Ted, I hate to steal your thunder, hopefully I'm not. I talked to the RDC today, and I think the idea is to go after a request for proposals for development of that property by a private developer, maybe a public-private partnership. Maybe it's something where we can still lease a portion of that space for police department. So we don't want to put up too many walls. We want to see what ideas are out there, but it's a prime piece of location in the downtown TIF district that really could offer some opportunity there. So the public part of it is not completely off the table, but really feel like with the financial implications happening from the state right now, that we have to be real careful about what projects we invest in. And so I say all that to say, talked a little bit of Redevelopment Commission. They seem to be pretty excited about maybe that opportunity. They appointed a RFP committee, but it was important to get your blessing on that for them to kind of run with that project. Officially speaking, I think the jail will be in the City of Columbia City's name, not the Redevelopment Commission. But I think the RDC is well set up to kind of manage a project like that. So I wanted to kind of get your blessing on that or answer any questions, comments, or concerns that you have. I know I've talked for a couple of meetings now about the financial complications with, we didn't expect that to come out at $7 million. and we've looked at a couple of the things, and I don't think they're far off. Let's just say it that way. I don't think they're far off. So, what, 30 or 40-year-old building? Building is super solid, but the interior of it, obviously the demo of concrete walls, the replacement of the HVAC system, some of the interior and exterior things that would have to happen is just pretty high dollar value. So I want to get your blessing or questions, answer any questions you got.
Was the committee that was brought together, is this more of a researching type of, like, here's options, here's what might happen?
You mean the RFP committee?
Yeah.
So the RFP committee, I think, Tad, correct me if I'm wrong, or Chip, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the RFP committee is to put together what kind of proposal they want to put out there that is fairly open-ended, but still have that option of saying, okay, if you know, is this something where you would maybe want to have the police department lease, long-term lease, a portion of that or things like that? So to see what's out there and not put too many constraints on, but still say this is the direction we want to go. So it's not just a, hey, we need a new gas station there. I don't think that's the goal of anybody in downtown Columbus City. So.
Right. We just want to put up some guardrails for people between in terms of what they're going to.
Well, if I can interject too, we've done some in the past.
Can I interject? Hey, I'm going to interject right now.
And I've been noticing some online that are like kind of catch your eye that, hey, you know, and show off the city. We've done some before that just show off the property and it doesn't show like what it fully takes into. So that's kind of why I was like, one, this is so we can promote the city more and show the what it could affect in downtown Columbus City.
Does that answer your question, Brett?
Yes. We won't do anything without
that. That was a little deeper of an answer than what I was looking for, but yes, that does answer that.
Yeah, we're not the ones going to select who gets it.
That's right.
That would be, yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions regarding this? Okay, so can I get a blessing for the redevelopment commission to run with that project? I don't know how you even formally vote on that.
I just ask for a consensus.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, can I ask for consent for the RDC to run with the RFP?
That's a good idea. Yeah. It's really important that spot be used in some sort of
absolutely
attractive and beneficial way.
Yes.
We have a big opportunity and a responsibility mm-hmm. for that to be something nice.
Sure.
A good use for the space.
Right.
We're not building any more old downtown anymore.
Well, I think we would be missing an opportunity if we didn't open it up for some public input and public participation in that part of it, so.
I also appreciate not wanting to spend $7 million on a project that wasn't like originally started here.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And again, I think if this were, I hate to throw out numbers, if this were $2 to $4 million, I think we could figure out a way to do it. I can't figure out $7 million. Just can't do it. Unless someone's out there watching that wants to donate $7 million to this project. John says no pass right now, but anyway, so I appreciate your kind of consent to do that. Generally speaking, I think things in the city are working well. We are, is it next meeting that we'll be starting to take the budget up?
It'll be October 14th.
Okay, so the first meeting in October, we'll take the budget up. That'll be the public hearing.
And then the adoption's on October 20th.
The second meeting in October. So a couple other things going on. I did, on that same note, I sat through an AIM webinar today regarding creative municipal revenue sources, knowing that, you know, the budget's going to be tight because of some of the state Senate rollback one. So took a couple of ideas there. I haven't had a chance to talk to Leslie and Ruby yet about that, but we do have a large group of Mary Raper third graders that will be coming through on Friday here at City Hall, which is always a fun time for the police and fire and myself. We like to do the chicken thing, which is always enjoyable. To Gary's point, Movie on the Square went, I think, really well. It was a little chilly, so that drove down attendance a little bit, but generally speaking, it was great. So, yeah. Dan?
Nothing, sir.
Jennifer?
Let's see.
Where do you want to start?
Right. So, thank you for inviting me to be on your Lunch with the Mayor program on Friday. It was a good opportunity to promote the third annual studio art tour that the Arts Commission put on this weekend. We had some pretty great attendance. We had 7 different stops on the tour. The bulk of the artists were in Columbia City, but then you could travel out a little ways. Outside the city, we had a stone carver, a metal worker, a leather working, and another studio that was open. We had 10 artists, and seven of them were brand new this year. So that makes it interesting and different when we have new people coming in and and sharing new stuff. Thanks to Channel 15 for coming out and covering the tour this year and getting some pictures of the museum. Thanks also to the museum for hosting. So it was good. And then also I had the opportunity to participate in Columbia City Connect's steamroller party event downtown. I learned how to carve. Now I kind of like carving, so I might do some more of that.
That does not surprise me at all.
It kind of scared me. Very overwhelming. But by the end, I was really glad to be with that part, and now I just have to learn how to make prints because I don't have a steamroller at home.
Gotcha.
I think that's probably it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Ted.
So I have a couple things. I met with Chris Judy a couple weeks ago to discuss the collection of the food and beverage tax.
Great.
And so he sent, actually while I was sitting with him, sent a message to his legal assistant.
His legislative assistant. His ally.
To work on helping us in the collection of with those restaurants that are not collecting. So
fantastic.
Maybe he already reached out.
No. I'm telling Rosie, like, hey, that's really good news because I know I sent him an email and stuff, and I think we're trying to get a date set up to talk legislative stuff. So I'm glad you kind of hit it over the path.
And then also talk to him, Gary, about signage on Jake Breaks on 30. And so he sent a message to whoever he sent it to for that also.
Okay, excellent.
So that, and then our redevelopment meeting today, which was, all the stuff that we've been working on for a long time kind of came to fruition in this one. So the LML, there's just a few things that need to be done, but all the testing, we've passed all the testing, and there's just some things that the state is requiring to do on that. That was the way I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jackson Line Street site, we're actually going to swap a site at Jackson Line Street with the county. They're going to use it for parking, and then we're going to get the lot that the county has farther down Van Buren Street. So we'll be working on that. Finalizing that, the mayor, I talked about the jail, Smith Brothers property, didn't turn out as bad as they expected after doing the phase two testing, so we're going to move forward on that, figuring out pricing and everything for the redevelopment commission to look at taking over that, and then did a couple facade grants, and then the school came in and gave us a great presentation of all the things that they're doing with the trades in our community with students, so which is great.
Great.
That's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
Jenny. Well, I don't have anything exciting when Tad got it. I've been given an opportunity to actually move outside of the city limits. I will be resigning as of first as city council. It's been a great pleasure to work with the team. Along with that, my passion has always been growing Columbia City and making it better. I will be sad to leave council, but I know ultimately it's better for my family.
I think you're still in 2 mile jurisdiction, though, aren't you? Are you close?
Mm-hmm.
You may be close enough you can still serve on boards and commissions, so you may not get off scot-free. You may not get off scot-free, but, well, I obviously will have time to say goodbye, but I've told you already I'm disappointed by this, but I totally understand and support your decision, and you've been a great asset to the council. You've been a great asset to the city. I think you brought some fantastic skills and business sense, and it'll sorely be missed, certainly. But we have you until December, so we're going to try to use every bit of that possible. So.
And who can say I won't do something different?
That's right. That's right. Well, we appreciate that very much. So, excellent. Frank.
I compared to that, I got nothing.
Yeah. John, you have anything else you want to share? Okay, we have no press and no more audience, so we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.